In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
On this episode of Crown Jewels, Fergie comes to Prince Andrew's defense yet again. What do the Murdochs and the royal family have in common? I'll give you a hint. Money. And Meghan responds to the leaked letter from King Charles. Will they ever leave her alone? We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Samantha Bush, and today we are without Lex. She's kind of traveling the globe right now, but she will be back very, very soon in time for the coronation. But we have a very special guest today. His name is Dylan Hafer. He is the host of the Mentional podcast here at Betches, and just kind of like the know-it-all when it comes to pop culture, reality television, everything. So hi, Dylan.
Hi, Sam. I am happy to be here today with you. This is fun for me because I guess I'm a know-it-all about pop culture and whatever, but I don't pay that much attention to the royals on like a week-in, week-out basis. So I know all the characters. I have my thoughts and feelings, but digging into some of these stories, it's like, geez, these people really don't take a break, do they?
They don't rest. They do not sleep. They are constantly churning out new headlines every single day. Like, Lex and I will get done recording, and by the time we're done recording, there's like already a new story happening. So the palace doesn't sleep. Before we get into tea and crumpets and everything like that, I'm just kind of curious, as someone who's not super deep in the royals like world, what is your take on like the Meghan and Harry stuff? Like, where do you land?
So just like for reference, I watched their Netflix show. I didn't read Harry's book. That felt like kind of one step further than I needed to go.
Yeah, the book was a lot.
Overall, I feel like I want them to be happy. I'm glad they're living their life. I'm glad they're free or whatever. I do think like over the last 6 months or so, like some of the specific moments have come across a little much. Mm-hmm. I think they do kind of toe this weird line between wanting their privacy, wanting to live their lives, and then also clearly having some, you know, designs on a media empire or, a career in the spotlight in some way, which I don't mean that to say like shame on them for ever seeking out publicity, but I think it's tough to kind of have it both ways. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I mean, some of the things I see people say about Meghan specifically, it's just absolutely too much.
It's too much.
I saw they were just at like a basketball game or something.
Lakers game,
sure. And like, I don't know if...
Yeah.
So there's like photos of them. They were on like the Jumbotron or whatever at the stadium. I don't know if you've ever been to a sporting event where there was a famous person in the crowd, but they are going to find that person and put them on the Jumbotron if it's the last thing they do. And there were people responding to this that were like, ugh, these like fame whores at the Lakers game seeking out publicity everywhere they go. And it's like they attended a basketball game and like, if you're seated in the arena, the camera can find you. Like, that's not them doing anything. That's just them. That's them doing like a normal ass activity and people just not wanting to see them at all.
Well, it's also funny because it's not like they're sitting front row on the court. Like, they were also like, they bought a box or whatever for the Archwell team. So it was like a little team outing that they did. But like you said, I mean, it's like, no matter what game it is, it could be like a football game, whatever, like they will find the famous person in the back row in the corner no matter what. People just always have something to say.
Do you remember that one time Kanye West went to a sporting event with like a hood over his head, and then obviously
the photos
of that went viral? And it's like, there's no way to be actually incognito at a sporting event if you're famous unless you're wearing like full disguise, which would be even more ridiculous. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think in general, if Meghan doesn't want to go to the coronation, I kind of get it. I don't know. I'm glad Harry's going. But at the end of the day, it's like, who cares?
Yeah, people just always have a lot to say about them. Like, there's a video from that game that they just went to where, like, you know, they're like being like lovey-dovey. And like people are reading into the body language and being like, oh, he's like turning away from her. He seems so annoyed. I'm like, can you guys shut the fuck up? Like, they're fine. They're okay. Meghan and him love each other. And I will get into, I mean, we have one of the stories today involves a goat and we'll get to it. But they confirm, they'll confirm everything later on. Yeah, so let's get into tea and crumpets. I'm going to start us off. And this one is about Fergie, the Fergs, and Prince Andrew. Oh, God. Just sigh. Roll your eyes. Let's get it out of the way.
Our favorite clowns are clowning again.
So she is making her rounds yet again, doing press, going on morning shows, talk shows, radio. She's doing it all. She's hitting every media outlet possible. And she feels that the spotlight needs to come off Andrew so that he can rebuild. She says, I told him the other day that he should definitely talk more to the Pilgrim Bandits, who's this extraordinary group of veterans. They're amputees that have been through really, really difficult times. With Prince Andrew, he's such a good man. He's a kind, good man. And I think that the spotlight needs to come off of him and let him get on with his life to rebuild. Now, to say just to get on with his life is a little, they are so insistent on brushing all of the stuff under the carpet, and it's so weird.
I just don't understand really what she's arguing needs to happen, because in my mind, Prince Andrew stepped back from his royal duties a few years ago. He hasn't been doing appearances or, you know, whatever. What spotlight is on him? Do people still think he's a bad dude and have questions about everything that happened with his Epstein connections? Sure, but like, he's not right in the spotlight. If anything,
he's not making the rounds.
Right. If anything, he has left the spotlight. And so if he wants to be going and doing charity work and volunteering and, you know, helping out with the veterans, he should be doing that. He's, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing precluding him from doing that in some sort of unofficial, non-royal capacity. So, like, aside from the fact that Sarah Ferguson is, like, one of the more desperate people, you know, around, mm-hmm. She's been broke for years, you know, she'll attend the opening of an envelope. It's right. Just the kind of thing where it's like, what actually are you saying should happen? Because I personally am not checking for Prince Andrew. He's not being invited to things. He's not being... Mm-hmm. You know, given media opportunities. So like, he doesn't need to step out of the spotlight. The spotlight left him.
The spotlight, as NeNe Leakes said, the spotlight is on me, honey. And that's Charles. Charles is saying that right now. And I don't know. So the thing is Prince Andrew did attend Easter. So like, he does come to family events, but he's not like talking to, King Charles is not allowing him to speak. He's like, you're not allowed to do this. You are not a working royal anymore. You were stripping your funds, we're stripping your titles, we're doing, he's like, get away. And so what's interesting about Fergs is that she is the one that keeps bringing him back up. Like, everyone is fine with not talking about him. No one wants to talk to him. No one wants to work with him. No one wants anything to do with him. And by her constantly talking about him, it's like, okay, well, you're the one that keeps bringing this up. In a way where now we're constantly reminded, oh yeah, he is this really bad guy who did these really bad things.
Yeah, it's also just for anyone in the world, they got divorced 27 years ago. You're going on TV and talking about your ex-husband from the 90s. Like, why is this man even still in your life? And really, I mean, the only viable answer for that is that's her claim to relevance. Like, mm-hmm. Their kids are fully grown. She's saying, oh, well, he's a great dad. He's a great grandfather, whatever. And it's like, okay, but why does that even matter to you? Like, you're not co-parenting at this point. Beatrice and Eugenie mm-hmm. have not needed anything from you guys for, years. They're like, if anything, the less toxic portion of the family.
Right.
So like, it just is the kind of thing where anytime Fergie pops up, it's like, it's not that she should never be invited to anything. It's not that she should be disowned from the family, but it's like, truly, what is your goal here?
Well, and I mean, back in the 90s when they got divorced and everything was going on, and then Charles and Diana got divorced, it's like her and Diana kind of teamed up and they were like this pair that was like the women that were exiled from the family. And she had a really, she would kind of go on, you know, tangents and talk shows about the royal family and how not amazing they were. So now that he's like in all this hot water, why is she like so attached to him? I don't get it. But like you said, it's just her claim to fame. And so I found this really fascinating. So the Daily Mail, our favorite toxic publication, did a poll on the royal family. And I just want to read you some of these poll results because I found them very interesting. So 79% of people that were polled, the British public, say that Andrew should not get royal funds. 79% of them say he should be removed from the line of succession. 40% of them say he's done more damage to the royal family than Meghan and Harry. And 2% of them said that he's made a positive contribution to the crown. Like,
that 2% is brutal.
That 2% is really tough. I put it in all caps because I was like, this is a really important thing to note. Like 2%. And to think that he was the queen's favorite son is just, wow.
Yeah.
How many have fallen?
I mean, it's just, it just is the kind of thing where when you're getting to this point where he's in what, his 60s, pushing 70, like maybe the road is coming to an end for you. And this feeling of like, oh, when will he be able to kind of get back in, or how long does he need to be in timeout? It's like, maybe this man doesn't ever need to be like doing anything publicly again. Like maybe he should just go to a golf course and like hang out for a while. And I think there's this kind of,
the sun is setting
with the royal family. There's this idea that it's just your birthright until the end of your life, that you're just kind of like always in this position. And it's like, I think maybe just like Andrew can kind of go away. Like he can be, I don't have a problem with him being like invited to the family or the funeral or like to Easter or whatever. Like that's his family. That's fine. But like this idea of like, when will he be allowed to reclaim his whatever? It's like, why does he need to? Why
also,
is that something?
Never.
Yeah. Like, bye.
Let it go, bitch. Let it go, Fergs.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, Good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So topic number two, tea and crumpet. Is, and I found this really, really interesting. I mean, I find everything about the royal family really interesting, but this is news that just came out today. And I don't know. Do you watch Succession?
I do.
Okay. So like it's, isn't it like created after the Murdoch family? Like,
yeah, it's loosely based. You know, inspired by, you might say.
Okay. Okay. So Rupert Murdoch paid Prince William secretly. Apparently in 2020, he secretly paid Prince William a very large sum of money. And there aren't details about like what this was exactly for or why, but the claims are that Murdoch's company privately reached a settlement with him and was included as part of Harry's legal case, that there were secret deals between the royal family. Like I said, there was no other details about like what this was directly linked to. But this is all coming out now because Prince Harry had to disclose in his own legal battle with the Sun about these new findings, these settlements, these payments. The royal family struck a deal with the Murdochs in 2012, and part of the deal was the family would delay legal proceedings against this newspaper in return for an apology at a later date. Harry has said that the family did this after Tampon Gate, which is one of my favorite little anecdotes from this family, when his call between Charles and Camilla was leaked in 1993. So Harry is, you know, going... There's like an ongoing lawsuit right now between Harry and the News UK, and he feels that they failed to uphold their side of the deal. So, wow. I want to know how much money.
Yeah, I'm curious how much money, because obviously William is not somebody who is like ever out here like having to do like sponsored content to make money or anything. Like he's pretty much set.
No, he's not hashtag SponCon.
But the idea that the Murdochs could have potentially written him a check for what, like, I don't know, $50 million. That's a completely made up number. But it's funny just like hearing all those details about their agreement in 2012, that there was going to be an apology at some point, and, you know, going all the way back to Tampon Gate and, you know, the 2017 stuff when he sought the apology. It's like this alleged payment between William and the Murdochs could have been for like literally anything over the past 30 years. And that's kind of that's what's crazy. It's like it's less surprising that a payment was made and more like a guessing game of like, what do we think specifically this was about? Because it's just clear that the Murdochs and their like associated companies over the last decades have just fucked with this family in so many ways that it's like, well, at some point they were going to have to write a check, and you know, they might have to write another one to Harry depending on how
the Murdochs are bleeding money right now.
Look,
after this whole like Fox News situation, like they're just fucked. And it makes me kind of wonder, because Harry was in a way standing up for both him and William because of the phone tapping that did take place like throughout their entire lives in childhood and teen years. So I wonder if this will maybe like bridge a gap between William and Harry. Like William would be like, wow, like thank you for standing up for us or something. I doubt he will, but it does make me think.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because if William already got a check at some point in 2020,
and then
Harry's like just now kind of bringing his claim. No, I don't, but it's weird because we know so little about it. But like, what if Harry is like, hey, my brother got the money 3 years ago and I'm still waiting on my check? Like, it's interesting that they wouldn't be in this fight together against. I was going to say Fox News, but in the UK, it would be like, you know, the Sun or News of the World, just the Murdochs at large. But it is like, this makes me wonder at some point, are we going to get more of a trial or something, because clearly Harry does not feel like he's done with this whole proceeding. And like, Fox News still has multiple cases against it in the US. Like, there's a lot of shit coming down the pipeline for the Murdoch family. And, you know,
yeah. Follow it's going to be interesting. Follow Betches Sup to get all the tea, because they'll be on the case when it comes to the Murdoch family. And you know what's so annoying is, like, when I was watching the Murdoch murders, they kept saying Murdoch. And it kept, like, fucking me up.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. It's like a low country thing or something.
A low country accent.
Like, they say Murdoch, but it's like, that's like a G-H. And, like, Rupert mm-hmm. Murdoch is a C-H. The I English know. Language and is very strange.
It's very, it's very complex. Now on to my favorite story. My favorite tea and crumpet. Now, I came across this story, and I have to tell you, my eyes bugged out of my head. I thought this was like a Dale, like a male or fail that our producers make. Like, that's what it feels like to me, but it's not. So the headline simply was, "Psychic Goat Makes Predictions About Harry, Meghan, and William." And at first I thought they meant like G, like G-O-A-T, like Tom Brady is the goat. Like, that's like... Because I was like, there's no way they're actually talking about a farm animal. And they are. His name is Billy. And he can predict the future using tarot cards. That is the subheading for this little story. And then you dig a little deeper. And they're not tarot cards. They're simply just note cards that say yes or no on them. And he chooses which one he feels is the right one. His owner says that he's very good at predicting the future. Of course, there was no other examples of this. You know, she didn't say at one point he predicted, you know, the pandemic. He's not out here predicting anything like that. So the goat predicted that Harry and Wills won't make amends before the coronation, which I don't think is shocking to anybody. And because it's in like a week. And then also, when asked if Harry and Meghan would last, the goat said yes. And my favorite part of this entire story is the very end, where it says, "The Sussexes and the Kensington Palace haven't responded to comment."
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Are they going to? Yeah.
I clearly, as we're about to hear in a few minutes, Meghan and Harry's publicist has bigger fish to fry than, you know, the goat predictions. But, you know, I'm happy for...
Just a happy, silly story about Billy the goat. You know, he's getting some publicity. He's getting some airtime here on Crown Jewels. So
I do wonder, though, I feel like today, like, the Harry and William stuff is not really like a main topic. Like, they're, you know, feud with each other. But would we even know if they had made amends? Like, what would that even look like for our public consumption? Would it just be like, you know, TMZ saying, like, we heard they had a good convo? Like, what is the end game of Harry and William's feud?
I know, because we're not going to see them, like, out and about, like, together, you know, being bros. So how will we really ever know?
If anything, the fact that William is now the Prince of Wales, he's, like, less of a real person than he was before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not going to make up, and then next Lakers game, it's like William in the box with Harry, like, or
honestly,
Harry's not going to post on social media like a photo of them together with like some emojis that suggest that everything's okay. So it is kind of funny that it's like, okay, like, I guess we'll just have the body language experts watch them at the coronation again. Like,
God, those body language experts, like, don't get paid enough, in my opinion. Like, I love them because they're constantly just like being insane. I mean, you bring up a really good point. Like, what would that even look like? Because I probably think it's really, really weird to see your dad become king. Like, that's probably a really weird feeling, being William, because he's thinking like, wow, this is going to be me at some point. Like, once my dad dies, like, this will be me. That's scary. That's kind of overwhelming.
That's true. I mean, it's not something that very many people can relate to.
No. if anybody...
it's a little bit like, I don't know. Also, the fact that Harry and Meghan are so fully removed from living in the UK, you know, attending events other than like these major, major life events in like, I don't think even if they had a conversation and had like a better relationship, we're never going to see them just casually spending a lot of time together. It's tough to think about like where there's even room to kind of grow that relationship. I guess maybe they would come back for Christmas or something if everything was hunky-dory, but I don't, it's a little bit like, I don't know. This is probably just the way things are going to be.
Yeah. I know. I'm excited to see what happens at the coronation. Like, I'm excited to see where everybody sits. And I wish Meghan was going, but I understand why she's not, because we'll get into it. Oh, God. These people. So, Dylan, are you ready to make it rain?
Sam, I thought you would never ask. And, you know, I'll give you a break on the reading, and I will
yeah,
read
I'm struggling
this week's...
today. I'm so sorry.
No, it's a lot. The Murdoch thing is more than my like non-fiscally minded brain can wrap itself around. But this one's a little more straightforward. Classic gossip. Okay. So basically, last week, The Telegraph posted a story claiming that Charles wrote to Meghan following her and Harry's March 2021 interview with Oprah Winfrey. Ugh, those were the days. I remember watching that live. What a moment in history. Silent, silenced. We were all there. Yeah. Okay, so The Telegraph wrote this story reporting that in 2021, Charles wrote to Meghan after the interview, and that Meghan wrote back to the Prince of Wales at the time. So when Charles was the Prince of Wales, and that she raised concerns about unconscious bias and racism after she had revealed to Oprah that there were concerns in conversations about how dark Archie's skin might be when he was born. This was really like the biggest bombshell that came out of that interview with Oprah, the alleged conversation that had taken place, about this baby's skin color, which obviously is horrible. So basically, The Telegraph is reporting that this correspondence went back and forth. And then people afterward, after the story was published, were accusing Meghan of leaking this letter that she had sent to Charles ahead of the coronation. Of course, Meghan's not going to the coronation. People think that there is this kind of like ongoing, you know, feud there. So Meghan actually put out a statement through her rep, and this is the statement. This is all in quotes. "The Duchess of Sussex is going about her life in the present, not thinking about correspondence from 2 years ago related to conversations from 4 years ago. Any suggestion otherwise is false and frankly ridiculous. We encourage tabloid media and various royal correspondents to stop the exhausting circus that they alone are creating." This statement actually really surprised me when I was reading it, because this is not like a PR response where it's just kind of like, no, she didn't say this, no comment at this time, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kind of what you would expect from a like really buttoned up royal adjacent publicist. This is like a, can everyone fucking stop? Can you guys get a life and leave us alone? Because I think also this kind of statement really makes me believe Meghan, because if there was any kind of gray area of whether or not she had leaked this letter, they would just say no comment, or you know, we're not ready to talk about this. This is very much like, everybody get a grip, go away, find something else to do.
I first saw this on Twitter and I thought it was fake. Like, at first, you know, I was like, wait, who is this from? What am I reading? And then I really realized, I was like, oh, holy shit, Meghan put out this statement. And I think it's really powerful. I think it's really refreshing. It's not something that I would ever expect from her or a royal family member to put out and just be like, listen, this happened 2 years ago. The conversation happened 4 years ago. Enough. Like, we've moved on. We've said our piece. You've said yours. Stop bringing me into this. Stop trying to leak stories. And I mean, Lex and I talk about it all the time. It's like the moment in the documentary where she just looked at Harry and she was just like, that's your brother. Like, yeah. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And that's kind of what this statement feels like to me. But like you said, she's not like, yeah, we're not commenting on it at this time or whatever. She's just like, this is ridiculous. You guys need to shut the fuck up.
I think it's also important to note that this statement is very much directed at all of the people out there in the world creating and contributing to this conversation. It's not accusing Charles of anything. It's not accusing Will of anything. It doesn't even mention anyone else in the royal family by name. No. It's very just talking about the correspondence, the conversations, but it has no kind of details of the situation that happened. And I think that's important because Meghan, at this point, however she actually feels about the other side of the family, she doesn't want to fan the flames at all of this feud because she knows that people are watching everything she does. People are reading into every statement, and that is only going to make her look worse at the end of the day. And I think the Netflix documentary and the book were kind of this, you know, final statement of like, we've now said our piece about the specifics of the family, and now we're going to go our own way. So this statement is really just like asking everyone, you know, on Twitter to move to on. And I think unless something new happens within the family dynamic, we're not going to see Meghan do more interviews where she talks about Charles or Will or Kate. Like, that's, I feel like most likely they've kind of put an end to that like press tour chapter and are going to focus on like their other endeavors moving forward as much as they want to.
Yeah. I agree 100% because she's been really quiet since the documentary came out. Like during Harry's press tour with Spare, when he was kind of, it felt like everywhere. And it didn't kind of feel like that. It really was like that. But she really hasn't said anything. She's just been quiet. She's just been doing her own thing. She's in Montecito with her babies, just feeding her chickens. Like she's just kind of doing what Meghan does. And so I was really happy with this statement because it's, like you said, it's not telling the family you need to stop. It's telling the people, the media. Like you said, it's telling Twitter, like, enough with the comments, enough of these conspiracy theories. Like, you guys got to cool it.
And also, I think it's this happening so shortly before the coronation. It's interesting knowing that Meghan's not going to be there to watch how the coverage unfolds and, like, how much these tabloids will or won't be able to keep Meghan's name out of their mouths because she's literally not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I can just envision that there are probably going to be a lot of stories that we see from certain outlets that are like, you know, Harry and William have this interaction amid Meghan's decision not to show up. And like, I think from Meghan's perspective, she's probably really wishing that it's like, focus on who's there, leave me out of it, because there's nothing to talk about. I'm gonna be at home. You're not gonna see Meghan like out and about clubbing the night of the coronation. Like, she's gonna be at home living her life. And I think it's gonna be telling to see if these publications like still can't pass up another opportunity to drag her.
Well, that's been the interesting thing, is during this silent period with Meghan, they've really turned, the tabloids have really turned their, all their focus onto Kate. And it's kind of interesting to watch because there's been a lot of poor articles written about Kate recently, like about William, Kate, the affair potentially with that woman.
Lady Rose.
Lady Rose. Whose husband is now the lord in waiting for King Charles. So it is kind of interesting to see if they now turn all of their attention to Kate at the coronation and start, you know, putting out stories in a negative way about her now that Meghan isn't giving them anything to try to twist, I guess.
It's just so funny because you would think we've gone this episode from talking about the absolute gremlin behavior of Fergie and Andrew to talking about Meghan and Kate like doing their duties, minding their business, whatever. And it's like, it's so telling that the British tabloids have no interest in like going after Fergie or anything like that, because it's like, that's who's feeding them stories. I mean, not her allegedly, whatever. But like, but it's like, those relationships are so ingrained, whereas like they have absolutely, they will gleefully throw somebody like Megan to the wolves because she's not helping them out. She's not giving them what they need, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what if we just like focused on calling out the people who are actually acting like clowns? Mm-hmm. What if?
That's always been a thing with me and this whole situation is like, you know, their protection of Prince Andrew and their willingness to just throw Harry and Meghan under the bus. And it's like, you have a literal alleged, I don't know the correct words to use. I'm trying not to get sued by the royal family. It's kind of like when I talk about the mob, like I always get a little nervous. Like Drita will come for me, but is like, you know, the alleged sex trafficking, you know, like,
right.
It's very weird that like no one talks about that.
It's just the kind of thing where like this family has enough, you know, skeletons in the closet, things swept under the rug, that it's like you could write articles about those things until the end of time and not run out of material. But because of certain relationships you have or certain handshake agreements or payments happening under the table, maybe not, I don't know, they're going to focus on the easy thing, which is like, did Meghan and Harry look happy at the basketball game? And it's like, I mean, that's the way the world works, I guess, but...
People click it. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. So it's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, I it's a business. I get it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it just is like, it kind of makes you think twice when you're reading these articles, when you're like, wait. Sarah Ferguson is like telling everybody to go easy on Andrew and she's not getting like any of that backlash at all.
Of course not.
I don't know. Whatever.
Goblins, just, those two.
Something
goblins
to think about.
So, food for thought. Well, it's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the others have been completely made up by our producer. And normally I am the one that spots the Mail or Fail, but today you are our guest of honor, so I will have you read both headlines and then tell me which one you think is the real headline.
Yay, we get to talk about Fergie more. Okay.
Yay.
Okay, option one. Okay. Is Fergie going to rock Buckingham Palace with another royal memoir? Interesting. Okay. Option two. Fergie rumored to be extending her intriguing women tour through the coronation weekend. Wow. Oh, so would she rather throw her former family under the bus in a book? Or would she rather miss the coronation and have her own event instead? That's kind of fun. I feel as if option two might be real.
Okay.
Because so I don't know what the intriguing women tour is, but I feel like that would be a random thing to make up. Whereas like her writing a book, I could see it. But also I feel like right now she wants Buckingham Palace to like her.
Okay, so you think it's option number two is the real one?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what it is. Oh, that is the fake one.
Oh, okay.
So will Buckingham Palace be rocked by another royal memoir? Fergie suggests she could see herself writing a third tell-all book months after Prince Harry's bombshell revelations and spare.
Wait, a third
We're
book?
We're good.
Okay, so when you said two? That was the real one, I was like, okay, so she wrote one book before. No, she wrote My Story, published in 1996, just months after her divorce, and then Finding Sarah.
In 2011.
I love that the Daily Mail is so shady. They say Finding Sarah in 2011, which came after another bout of financial woes. It's like, I mean, that's kind of the story of her life.
Yeah, she's constantly struggling. She also, I don't know if you know this, she puts out daily YouTube videos. Reading children's books, story time with Sarah.
That's like the opposite of like drag story time.
It's so bad.
Story time with a 60-something-year-old
British lady defending a sex trafficker. Jesus. During a media round for a most intriguing lady, she revealed that she was pleased that her writing career had taken off, giving her another claim to fame aside from marrying into the royal family. A source told the Daily Mail that Fergie constantly has new offers to write a new memoir and will consider them seriously, though nothing has been decided. This bitch is doing it. Who are we kidding? She's going to be doing it. She
would do it too for a check.
Oh God. She feel very proud to have embarked on a new career in my 60s. Not many people get that opportunity. Now, having married into the royal family isn't my only claim to fame. I'm an author who has made the Sunday Times bestsellers list. Okay. Lots to unpack. But also not that much, because it's just like pretty straightforward.
Wait, is A Most Intriguing Lady, is that a novel?
Yes.
Did she write a novel?
Yeah.
Oh, historical fiction book. Damn, good for her.
Yeah, she's out there, you know, peddling these books, selling copies.
I mean, you guys should read it. You and Lex should read it.
A Most Intriguing Lady. It sounds like Countess Luann's Cabaret. Like, that's what it sounds like to me.
Notice I said you and Lex should read it. I did not offer my reading services book.
Right.
I'll be stepping out for that one. But look, if
you'll
she
be
wants to
get along to us.
If she wants to write a third tell all book, go for it. It'll give you guys some fun content.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll have sales numbers anywhere close to Spare. But you know.
No. She's a nut. I can't say I stan her because she's demonic, but I do respect just the like, she just is very thirsty. We'll just say that. She's very, very thirsty.
It's so strange to think about when you were mentioning earlier how she and Diana got divorced from the princes around the same time back in the 90s. Like, it is such a weird thing to think about if Diana hadn't passed away when she did, like how their parallel stories may have been similar or have differed. And it's like, I just can't imagine that if Diana was around today that she would be doing this shit.
No, I don't think so. I do think Diana would be like definitely out and about. I think she would definitely be really obviously very famous still. I feel like, you know, a style icon. I don't know what she would be doing. She'd probably be in Montecito with, you know, Meghan and Harry.
That's true. I picture her maybe having more of like a Maria Shriver kind of trajectory, like a very just kind of like classy lady who does a lot of charity. And like, you don't like hear from her that much, but also she's like a public figure. I feel like that kind of vibe, like a very dignified sort of thing. I don't think she would be out here, you know, like money grubbing for a book deal.
No. And she wouldn't be defending her ex-husband.
That's true.
That's
true.
Yeah,
she would not be attending the coronation.
She'd be like, fuck that. And I also feel like if Diana was still alive, that Sarah wouldn't be doing this.
Maybe. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe she would. I don't know. TBD. I mean, not even TBD. We'll never know. It will never be determined. So to finish up, let's name our spotted dick for the episode. Who has been a real steamed pudding this week? I feel like I know who yours is going to be. Would you like to share?
Mine's going to be Fergie. To be honest, it was going to be Fergie even before we had the mail or fail about her. She just is kind of like giving main character energy in a negative way this week to me. She's my spotted dick.
If she was a housewife, who would she be? Or like what city would she be in?
I think probably New York. Mm-hmm. Like the Countess Luann reference felt a little bit on the mark for me. Maybe like a little more of like a like wore out Countess Luann.
Battered.
But then also when you think back to Real Housewives of DC, the ill-fated one season show, Kat, whatever her name was that was on that show, she hooked up with Harry once upon a time. Like, maybe if DC had happened, she could have had a connection there. I think she would be one of those. I'm actually surprised she's never like thrown her name out there.
I'm shocked. Like,
you know, I've been contacted by producers.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually really surprised. Paula Abdul recently said that she's been contacted several times. No.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people have at one point or another. The show's been on 16 years. A lot of phone calls.
A lot of correspondence.
Yeah.
So my spotted dick is just Rupert Murdoch. You know, I'm not one to, I don't know much about the financial world. You know, I'm not a Wolf of Wall Street by any means. But I just feel like he's a, I just feel like he's a really bad guy. And I just don't trust him. And I want to know how much money he gave William. And I want to know why. Like, what was the real reason, you know? Like, did he have a secret phone call between William and Lady Rose?
Mm.
Who knows?
Yeah, I think just in general, sort of beyond the royal family, when you have, like, numerous large-scale lawsuits kind of coalescing around you at the same time, it's usually not an indication that you're, like, doing great things in the world. So, you know, Dominion voting systems, Prince Harry. I think there's some other like disgruntled Fox News staffers coming with their lawsuits. You know, it's a stressful time to be Rupert Murdoch, and that man is in his 90s. So
that man is hanging on by a fucking thread. Okay, he's not doing well. He's down bad right now. The whole Murdoch family is down really bad. Well, Dylan, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you. Tell everybody where they can listen to you, find you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been fun. I didn't know how many feelings I had about Sarah, the Duchess of York, until today.
A shock.
But yeah, you can listen to Mention It All wherever you get your podcasts, like Crown Jewels. And Sam, I think you might be joining me for an upcoming episode. So make sure you go and follow there. And then you can follow Bravo by Betches on Instagram for all of the Bravo content. And you can follow me at Dylan Hafer.
So many things to plug, you know? I love it. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. And be sure to follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the Betch.
Betches.